The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by ZipRecruiter. Forgetting to start the hottest quarterback in the league? Josh Allen? Not smart. Using ZipRecruiter to find qualified candidates fast? That's smart. ZipRecruiter identifies people with the right skills, education, and experience for your job, then actively invites them to apply. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter.com/06010.
Fantasy, you're in the 06010.
Welcome in to the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. We will do it live one more time in 2018. My name is Field Yates, Matthew Barrett to my left, Stefania Bell to his left. And the ironic part of introducing you guys is this is show 110, I believe, on the season. So if you're listening to the podcast and you don't know who we are, welcome if you're a first-time listener.
Right.
But more realistically, you know us, and I am just wasting 15 seconds of airtime.
Look. That's kind of the theme of the show. Wasting 15 seconds of airtime is nothing. We're at 295 viewers right now. It's very exciting. Hang on for a second. I'm going to tweet out the link. Why don't you talk to Stefania
for one second? It's show 110, and I'm still introducing us. Matthew is still looking for a link to the show, even though it's
No, it's supposed to be sent to me
same.
Every day, and they never send it to me. And then I have to ask it for like 5 minutes, and here's what
happens. The link has not changed for the entire 110 shows that has been the same.
Do you understand what my inbox looks like? I have 8
All
billion
you have to
emails.
Do is just do a search.
And I'm on a computer that isn't my computer. So my point is, it's not like I can bookmark it
every day for 110 days out of the year.
Whatever. Here's what happens, because when I don't tweet out the link, you guys get all mad at me.
Yeah,
like, why
didn't
you tweet out the link?
Because
I have the most followers.
Follows so you when you go to
whatever. Like, I'm just saying, like, send me a stupid link. Like, how tough is it? Every day, send me a stupid link.
I have the most followers. You just threw that in.
Yeah, I did.
Humble,
you know why?
Because
it's true. It ain't bragging if it's true. I'm just saying right now.
What about on Instagram?
What? On Instagram, I actually have the most followers as well.
Really?
I have more than Field. Not a lot more than Field. Field and I are much closer on Instagram than we are on Twitter. Although Field's Twitter game is strong. Field will bypass me like within the next year, I'm sure of it. But at the moment,
probably
yes.
Not.
Yeah, where are you at, Field? Where are you at on Twitter?
I will tell you right now, Daniel. 344783. However, I would encourage people to help that number go up. I think that's my best medium. I really do. I really feel as though like my content fits best on the Twitter.
Yeah.
Friends of the Twitter.
Yeah, exactly. Please follow me on at Matthew Barry TMR if I haven't, you know, blocked you already.
Follow me, Stefania_ESPN. I'm nicer than those two.
Rewind. Fantasy news from the National Football League.
This is the instant replay.
Am I nicer than those two? I meant nicer than Matthew.
That's correct. Daniel, so let's get to the housekeeping first, correct? Because we need to weave in some notes. This is our final live Twitter show of 2018. January.
That is 14th. Accurate. That is not accurate.
Of 2018. Yeah.
You said this is our final live show of 2018. Oh, right, of 2018. Right, sorry. Yeah. You put in a date in
somebody
there.
Somebody has already checked out of 2018.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Matthew is my boss. So I just follow the lead.
Okay. So of 2018, we are back for our final live Twitter show of this season.
Meanwhile, I still haven't been sent this link.
January 14th, 2019. Daniel, will we be live next Monday morning, Daniel? Yes or no?
Next Monday morning, we will not be live on Twitter. No, we are only going to be live January 14th, 11 a.m. Eastern for our year-end
award show.
Nice. So during the playoffs, we're going to have a once-a-week edition of the podcast Monday mornings. And we'll get it out there as soon as possible after it is actually recorded. It'll be me, Stefania, and Mike. Matthew will be honing his best pictures from 2018 to post them on Instagram to up his followers count.
At Matthew Barry TMR.
Now, at Matthew Barry TMR. Now, Daniel, one
I'm trying
more
to get
thing.
My IG followers up.
Right.
I'm trying to get my IG followers
okay.
up.
So one more thing here.
That'll be my New Year resolution.
Tell us
Very
more
important
about
one.
podcastopinions.com, Daniel, because that's an important thing for people to know about.
It is very important. So this year we had a lot of fantastic sponsors, a lot of people that we worked with that we couldn't do this show without them. Obviously, ZipRecruiter, SeatGeek, Subaru, Acura. I mean, we had a ton of people that we had worked with. There's no way that we could list them all. But it is important to us if you could go to podcastopinions.com and let us know what you thought of the show. This will help us from an advertiser standpoint to make sure that we are able to continue to deliver the content that is best for you guys and help fits us. And it's just all the way around it is very important to us. And so if there's any way you guys could do that, we know we asked you to take a survey a couple weeks ago.
It was a swerve, Daniel.
That was a swerve.
Yes.
Yep. A little bit different, with the way that we want to do this. So this will be, really important. The last thing that we're going to ask you to do for this football season, podcastopinions.com. Stefania, why do you have that smile on your face?
Because I'm happy, because it's almost New Year's.
Okay, sure. That's a lie.
Podcastopinions.com. Let's recap the games. And to be clear, let's be honest. I mean, you're not playing week 18 in fantasy football. And many of you did not play in week 17, as many championships concluded in week 16. So when we're breaking down these games, we're not exactly looking forward like, hey, Dontrell Inman was sweet again. What's it going to be like in your lineup in week 18?
I didn't play in week 17. Now,
I thought you had three finals.
You had like 18 championships in week 17.
Mr. I'm in so many league finals.
I was in finals. I just didn't play in week 17.
Oh, okay. You got it.
Oh, like all my guys, Aaron Rodgers. It was a rough Sunday for your boy over here. I have to tell you something. There's a lot of people did not show up for your friend here, Maddie.
So a little taste of your own medicine is what you did.
Yes, I did. That's right. Well done, there, Stefania. That was a good one.
Think about it.
That was a good little zinger.
It was like, ba-dum-bum.
Yeah, nice. There you go.
With that birthday. Yeah, you know, good job. A little slower.
I like that one. I like that one. That was a good one.
Happy belated birthday, Matthew.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. You know what? Our friends out there on Twitter, please send Matthew happy birthday wishes. He's very sad his birthday falls on December 29th.
Send him an Instagram wish at Matthew Berry TMR.
With the holidays, sometimes these kids who have holiday birthdays, it gets overlooked. He's really just a big kid at heart. So send him your well wishes.
This is all factually correct, Stefania. There is no question. I get depressed around my birthday every single year. I hate my birthday. There's no question about that. But I want to take a moment. It's true. It is. It's a whole thing. I've written about it. I'm very honest about it. I hate when my birthday falls. But I always get sad around my birthday. But I would like to take a moment just to thank Field and Daniel, who both made very nice, and Keith, not cool Keith as well, all made very nice, very public posts wishing me a happy birthday and saying very, very kind things. Tariqa's, I'm sure yours got lost somehow. Thanks for that.
No, Tariqa has a private account on Instagram. You just don't follow her.
That's not true. I do. Team No Sports. I totally follow her.
OMG. Matthew, you absolutely do follow me on Instagram.
Thank you very much.
I was trying to help you there, Tariqa. But anyway, because your point was that someone made a notable omission.
I'm just saying, well, you know, Stefania like texted me late, just saying like, oh yeah, oh by the way, HB.
I send you private messages. I post on your Facebook, all the things that are private,
yeah,
but
no one uses
it's
Facebook
not done
anymore.
Publicly. Oh my gosh. You are just, you know. You know what I could have done? I could have not sent you anything.
I know, I understand.
I could have not paid any attention whatsoever.
I just have to give credit. Like Thirsty Kyle sent me a sweet text.
I'm not seeking for public, you know. I'm not seeking adulation for my attempt to wish you a happy birthday.
I'm just saying.
I'm just, between friends, I understand. I just wanted to.
100%. You're one of my best friends.
I actually shared Daniel's Twitter posts.
Oh, is that what you retweeted his Twitter post? You retweeted? All right, fair. I'm just saying, Daniel made a very nice public post. Didn't reach out to me personally. Made a very nice public post.
You reached out to me personally,
which was very sweet. Field Yates did both. I have to just say this. Like, Field Yates is a birthday buddy. I just got to give a little round of applause.
Field Yates is a birthday buddy.
Field Yates made a very lovely public post.
Student who sits
made
in
a very
front
lovely
row.
Public post, and then you know a jab at the end, and then
speaking the truth of crime.
Fair.
Your jab was at the end, Field.
What?
My jab was at the beginning.
Yeah, both of you guys took shots. I'm officially, by the way, for people that, because I did get people that like, wow, I can't believe you're 65. Like they were like half the people that your tweet was real. Like, I got that from both Field and Daniel's.
Daniel goes, this guy, born, I believe, sometime in the early 1900s.
I mean, anyway. I turned 49 over this past weekend, so 49 years young.
And it's never looked so good, Matthew. Congratulations
you know
to you, buddy.
Is next year, his 50th birthday, the big 5-0, is going to be on a football Sunday.
It's going to be so amazing.
Oh, that'll be
so
incredible.
Great.
It's about.
You're gonna get attention that's gonna make up for all those years of it falling on a day that you thought no one was paying attention. Just you wait.
Mm. Let's talk about football, I guess. Fine. We will. I think I have Colts and Titans. The last game of last night, the Titans fall 33-17. The Colts advance to the playoffs. Andrew Luck, Another remarkable night, the pick six notwithstanding. Again,
comeback
we're not looking year. Forward, but Stefania's vote for the comeback player of the year be Andrew Luck.
Absolutely. I mean, I just, if you go back, this is the time of year where I love to go find sound bites or old things where people are like, this guy's done, or he's never going to make it, or Andrew Luck's never going to be the same, or what. And then to see him have the success, and not only that, just the way he's playing, it's the form, it's everything. He does not look like a guy who a year ago people were wondering if he could throw the football. And look at the volume of throwing that he's done across the season. There's no hesitation there. Looks fantastic. Very happy for him.
Yeah, he, or I would also think J.J. Watt will be in the conversation for the comeback player of the year. Great to see both of them dominate this season.
But I think Andrew Luck is in the conversation for MVP. I don't think he'll win it, but I think he absolutely deserves to be in that conversation. It's a great story in terms of just the entire Colts turnaround and the job that Chris Ballard and Frank Reich have done. And Andrew Luck finishes as the fifth best quarterback in fantasy, you know, and it's interesting going into the season, we kept talking and poor Stefania has spent 2 years talking about Andrew Luck. When's he coming back? When's he going to be healthy? And so,
Can he be the same?
And so, and it was not looking good early in the year, Field. And so credit to everyone, but specifically Stefania who always expressed patience with Andrew Luck. And I think, you know, that patience was well rewarded this year. And I think he'll be right back, you know, he'll be a top five quarterback next year as well in terms of drafts.
Marlon Mack was also great for the Colts last night. He did have a fumble on a very nice play by the Titans, but he finishes with 18.8 fantasy points. Dontrell Inman came on late and had a nice impact for the Colts down the stretch. 5 for 77 for him last night. And good for you, Eric Ebron. You proved a lot of people wrong this year with double-digit touchdowns. He had 14 total touchdowns this season. Could be a player that next year when we're building our early top five tight end list, we'll crack it based off the offense he plays in.
You know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Jack Doyle, obviously. But I think there's a chance, depending on how everything shakes out, I think there's a decent chance that back both Eric Ebron and Jack Doyle are certainly ranked within the top 12 of tight ends next year, given how much they like the tight end, how successful Andrew Luck has been. And honestly, the fact that outside of T.Y. Hilton, no pass catcher has really emerged for the Colts. And we know how much Andrew Luck likes throwing to his tight end. I mean, yesterday, you know, I think, was it Ryan Hewitt who caught their first pass of the year last year, and it was a touchdown. Was it Ryan Hewitt?
It was Ryan Hewitt, number 45.
Number 40, who is like, he's sort of a running back, but he's sort of like a half, you know, I think he was lined up as a tight end.
Former Bengal.
You know, What do you call it? Like a H-back? Anyway, just goes to show, like, the first pass the guy catches is a touchdown. He's lined up basically as a tight end in that particular formation. So, I think Ebron and Doyle have a chance to both crack the top 12.
Titans were a tough watch last night, obviously, with Blaine Gabbert playing quarterback for them. Really the only two players that I think we can look forward and say with some level of confidence will be on our fantasy radar are Derrick Henry, Corey Davis. Henry finishes with 93 rushing yards, didn't find the end zone, but some would argue he was the MVP of the playoffs for those who played in 14, 15, and 16 in terms of the weeks that the playoffs were conducted.
It's so fascinating. So through the regular season, okay, weeks 1 through 13, Derrick Henry was running back 39.
Yeah.
Weeks 14 through 17, he was the number one running back in fantasy. Derrick Henry, who was unusable up until the fantasy playoffs, and most people didn't start him in that crazy game, that four touchdown game. He was basically unusable through the first 14 weeks of the season because he had no idea that week 14 was coming, right? Finishes as the 16th best running back in fantasy this year.
There's something to be said for playing every game in fantasy football.
Especially at the running back position.
From our friend Tristan Cockcroft, Henry was the leading playoff scorer among all positions with 105.8 points.
Unbelievable. The Jets and the, by the way, Corey Davis. We'll get into all these players more looking forward. Corey Davis, 5 catches yesterday. A disappointing season for Corey Davis relative to the expectations.
I'm not convinced. I understand he's a super nice guy, and I know that he's been hurt throughout the majority of his professional career. I'm not convinced Marcus Mariota is any good under the auspices of professional franchise quarterback. He's obviously one of the, you know, 300 best athletes in the world. You know, he's playing a position that, you know, very few people ever get to actually play in the NFL. So he's obviously at an elite level in terms of that. But I just seen, like, when you put him under the microscope of franchise quarterback, of somebody worthy of the number one overall pick, you know, or I guess he went number two, Winston went one that year. But, you know, somebody who is the number one pick for a franchise and sort of the face of a franchise, I'm not convinced he's that guy.
I think you are not the only person that feels that way. There's a lot to be determined for the Titans, including his health this offseason.
Yes.
We know they didn't play yesterday in part because, Stefania, there was a fear he could do irreparable harm to his nerves.
Right. We've talked about it on the podcast all season long. I said once he had the ulnar nerve issue and then the stinger in his neck, that nerve tissue is sensitized and then it's that much easier to flare it up during the season. He's got a number of issues he's dealing with, and also this partially torn plantar fascia in his foot. I mean, that's an incredibly painful injury. You guys remember when Peyton Manning had that and could barely move around the field? Granted, he was a little bit older, but that type of injury is exceptionally painful. I give Mariota a lot of credit because he's very quiet about his injuries, not a complainer, but you can see where they were taking a toll on his ability to be effective and ultimately not even playing at the end.
Jets fall to the Patriots 38-3. The Jets have subsequently fired head coach Todd Bowles. The future for this team surrounds Sam Darnold. He had 7.5 fantasy points yesterday, and really nobody got anything going. They were held to 3 points. They were completely dominated by the Patriots in one of the more comprehensive efforts. Yeah. For the Jets, though, the future is built around Darnold's development and finding pass catchers around him. Chris Herndon's a very good young tight end. Robbie Anderson is a restricted free agent who's been up and down, and they recently signed Quincy Enunwa to a 4-year, $36 million extension, but they have to find significant upgrades at wide receiver this offseason for them.
Just at all skill position player. I mean, you know, Eli McGuire, very disappointing among the people that didn't show up for me yesterday, right? Gets 20 touches, finishes with under 7 fantasy points. I mean, you expect a running back, and not a matchup that scared you, really, especially, you know, but surprising how little he was used, especially given the score, how little he was used in the passing game here. It'll be interesting to see what happens, I think, given the fact that you've got Darnold, who we all believe can play in this league, under a rookie deal. And I believe they have the most cap room of any team in the NFL.
They are scheduled to have the most cap room. Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's an attractive job. And obviously you're in the New York market, which brings its own challenges and opportunities. I think they'll be, you know, and they're one of the places that are usually rumored when it comes to Le'Veon Bell destinations.
Yeah, it would be very interesting to see them add Le'Veon Bell. They need somebody in a major way that is a difference maker. Because Sam Darnold showed some promise over the past 2 weeks prior to yesterday. But it's clear when you're out of hope, when the ball is snapped, which was the case yesterday, you've got no chance to make major strides.
Especially when you sit there and you think and you look at the rest of that division, right? And that the Patriots, I don't know when the Patriots' run is going to end, but it's coming sooner rather than later.
Well, the Patriots yesterday had perhaps their most comprehensive performance of the entire regular season. Yeah. Tom Brady throws for 250 yards, 4 touchdowns. 26 fantasy points. He was great. Julian Edelman was great yesterday, 5 for 69 with a touchdown. James White, who's been their co-MVP this season, found the end zone again yesterday. And Philip Dorsett stepped into a role and got 16 fantasy points. For the Patriots, it's going to be, if they're
just like Mike Reese said he would, by the way.
Yeah, that's right. Great call by the incomparable Mike Reese yesterday on Fantasy Football Now. If the Patriots are going to do damage in the postseason, it's going to be because the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. Other than Edelman, no one scares you in the passing game right now, and nobody scares you downfield. But they scored 38 points yesterday. Yes, 7 points was from a defensive touchdown. And for the Patriots, I think the question going forward is, you know, will Gronk play? And if he does play, Matthew, 2 catches, 24 yards? Like, have the days of Gronk being listed or ranked or supposed to be a top five tight end, are they entirely gone?
I think so. My belief is that assuming everyone's back, assuming Belichick is back, assuming Brady is back, assuming Josh McDaniels is back, and
which
I don't
might
think
be the grandest assumption of them all, right?
Right.
Because there are 8 head coaching vacancies, and he'll certainly be on the list.
Of course, he will be. So, I mean, I think that I've seen Josh McDaniels rumored to be going to Green Bay or interviewing with them.
Yeah, that's what I mean by going to interview.
Listen. There's an appeal to being the head coach of Aaron Rodgers, right? So I think there's a chance that there's some change. And would it shock you? Shock. Now, I'm not saying it's likely, but would it shock you if Tom Brady retired after this year?
Yes.
Shock you. Okay.
He just said it like two days ago.
He's been saying it over and over again. I understand.
I know what he's been saying.
You think he's telling fibs to the public?
I don't think he's telling fibs, but I'm just saying, like, it wears on your season. He takes a couple of big hits in the playoffs. who knows, they win the Super Bowl. I'm just saying, I don't think it's 100% guarantee he comes back next year. Do I think it's more likely than not? I do. But I'm just saying, I don't think it's 100% a guarantee that he comes back next year. Same with Belichick. Same with Gronk. And so anyway, but assuming everyone's back, let's go and go with that premise. Assuming everyone's back, I think he's going to be sort of like a higher end version of Jordan Reed when we approach drafts this year. And by that, I mean, going into drafts this year, Jordan Reed was going between like 8 and 10, sometimes like 11 at tight end. And people are like, look, the injury history, that's what's baked into his price, and he's discounted enough. But we know the upside, that when he's healthy, when he's working, it obviously didn't work out this year for any of the Redskins, but specifically Reed especially. But, you know, that was the idea. And it's the same thing with Gronk. Like, we know what the upside can be, but we haven't seen it in a long time. So
yeah,
I don't believe he'll be ranked inside a top five at tight end.
For the Bears, they win 24-10 yesterday in a game that supposedly had no meaning. Don't tell that to Matt Nagy and his defense and his offense. Jordan Howard was the star offensively, 109 rushing yards, 2 touchdowns. Tariq Cohen also added a rushing touchdown. You know, we were talking about this on the show, in the pre-show meeting, I should say, that the Bears are the best defense in football, and I think Matt Nagy's the coach of the year, and I think they'll make the NFC Championship game this season. I love everything about them. But I think that besides Tariq Cohen, basically everybody else was a disappointment offensively this year in terms of fantasy. And I don't mean that, like, I'm not taking away what they've done this season, but offensively they were a disappointment other than Tariq Cohen.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I mean, Jordan Howard finishes the number 20 running back in fantasy, which is around where he was drafted, a little bit lower. But he was so inconsistent, Stefania.
I know. I mean, yesterday was proof of that because I wasn't buying into starting him yesterday. And look, he leads the stat chart offensively for the Bears. I think as far as being underwhelming in their skill position department, Allen Robinson, you know, I think everybody had high hopes for him, you know, fitting with Matt Nagy and coming in. But I think you also got to remember, coming off the ACL, guys often take that second year before they really look like their former selves. I think he has an opportunity to be better next year. And I bet you he'll be a guy who will be undervalued at going draft time season, because people will look at what happened this season and they'll sort of forget. He was coming off that. He had a few injuries, soft tissue injuries, again, not uncommon after ACL reconstruction. I bet you that Allen Robinson comes in and you can get a better deal for him and he'll be a star.
Sort of the inverse here for the Vikings, in that they had two players who were awesome this season for fantasy, and Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen. And yet the team as a whole, way underwhelmed. The Vikings missed the playoffs. Yeah. They finish 8-7-1. I know Adam Thielen probably devastated a lot of people down the stretch.
Ooh.
Could he be a top 10 player next year or no?
Yes. At his position?
Yes. Yep. Okay. You're in on that.
I am. I think him and
Diggs. And I'm not disagreeing. I'm just
No. I think he's borderline.
Yeah.
Like he finishes wide receiver 7. Diggs finishes as wide receiver 10. That's about right to me. I mean, who would you rather have next year, Adam Thielen or Odell Beckham?
Whew, man, Odell, but it's really close.
See, I think Thielen.
Yeah, I mean,
and it's also close. I mean, listen, we'll see. We saw Thielen and Cousins get into it. You don't love to see that on
bad.
The sidelines.
It was weird, too.
It was weird, and it's certainly
combative at times this year. He got into it with Belichick and now Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
Ooh.
He's feisty.
Yeah.
Feisty
Adam
Thielen. Feisty Adam Thielen.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's scrappy is what he is. Scrappy Adam Thielen. Look, but I think that's about right.
And
I think
Kirk
Cousins
was a major disappointment.
Yes.
He was.
And listen, you don't have to sugarcoat it, you know, because like you don't think that you're just a bitter, sour grapes Redskins fan.
Right.
Like, he was bad. I mean, relative to the $84 million
expectation. Oh, yes. That he missed.
NFL-wise, he was a disappointment. Not, you know,
fantasy, like, too.
Yeah.
He finished his QB 12 despite playing all 17, all 16
that's
games.
Right, which I think is a, all to me, that's weeks, disappointment. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's certainly lower than where he was. It's about where I had him ranked, but people thought I was low on it. I think the biggest disappointment for Kirk Cousins when it comes to his numbers was the guy didn't run. You know what I mean? Like, at least he had at least 4 rushing touchdowns in each of his final 3 seasons with Washington, had just 1 rushing touchdown this year. Like, that was always a part of his fantasy makeup was, right, you know, these rushing touchdowns, these kind of bootlegs that Jay Gruden would call for him, and it just didn't happen for him in Minnesota. You know, you could argue, you know, was their offense too imbalanced? You know, they were without Dalvin Cook for a number of games out there, so certainly wasn't what they were expecting. But look, in theory, Kirk Cousins not in theory, in actuality, Kirk Cousins had more talent around him.
Yeah, by far.
Yes, he did.
In Minnesota than he ever had. But this is one of the reasons why we talked about in the preseason, why I was a little bit down on him, is I felt like he wasn't, that Minnesota's defense, which maybe underperformed this year, but not, you know, there was still a very good defense. He just didn't have to get into the shootouts that he had to get into in Washington week in, week out.
Yeah, that was probably.
There were a couple of them, but not.
Yeah, it just was, to me, it was a really underwhelming season for Cousins. Dalvin Cook, once he got healthy, was actually pretty good. The Browns lose 26-24, but the future is.
But what are you going to trust Dalvin Cook next? I mean, you're somebody. Dalvin Cook sunk one of your fantasy teams, I know. Right?
Yeah, he did. The War Room League.
Yeah, the War Room League.
Yes. I mean, I will be.
I feel better about him going into next year. Yeah. Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah. I'm going to be higher on him going into next season than I was coming into this season. I always had him around later than everybody else. I'll never forget getting into it with Mike Clay, who was super high on him coming. And I just. To me, I was more worried about how much work they were going to likely ask him to do at the start of the year. And I think that's what hurt him. I think that hurt him across the season. Obviously, the injury that was recurring, and he didn't really get to be healthy until late in the year. And I think after an offseason, he'll be in good shape.
I remember when you got into it with Mike Clay, Stefania, we had to call security. It was a short sleeve day. Yeah, the guns were out. It was something real nervous.
I was kind of winning.
Like, she fights dirty.
Oh, yeah. She really does.
Don't take me on.
Jarvis. Yeah, because it's like it's not just the arms, it's the legs too.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's like you're sitting there focused on the gun show, and then all of a sudden, like, she's got the, you know, she's sweeping the legs.
That's what I say, leg sweep.
Yeah, she's leg doing sweep. The Karate Kid crane.
I think I said this before on the podcast, but you know, when you get married, and I'm now 6 months away from getting married, you start talking about like wedding diets, which Chapin and I mean, like, not trying to sound like a jerk, but like neither one of us is in, like, you know, super bad shape, but Chapin's talking about how she wants to, like, you know, whatever, fitness-oriented goals for 2019. And she's like, I want arms like Stefania's for the wedding. So
wow. What body part of mine does Chapin want?
I thought you were going to ask me what I want of yours.
It's really what he wants. I mean,
I'll tell you what. You can take something from Matthew. You can take something from Mayfield. You decide which one you want.
Yeah, I want your beard.
For the wedding, do you think Chapin would be okay with wedding photos with a bearded Field Yates?
No. Yeah. I'm gonna speak for Chapin right now and say that's a big.
I think so too.
That is a no, 100%.
That is a big no. That is absolutely it.
But hey, listen, if you do get tired doing the photos, just let me know. I'll swap in, and it'll be like no one ever changed places.
Right.
Okay.
During the photos.
All right. So okay. The Browns lose 26-24, but
the better answer would have been, you should have said, because whatever, you can play this part for Chapin. Maybe she's not listening today. The better part would have been like, well, you know what I want is I want a tattoo because I'm going to get Chapin's name tattooed because she's my forever.
Maybe a tattoo of you, so I get you and Daniel Incorporated.
Well, you know what? We've got just the guy that can draw faces.
Oh, man. I'll tell you what we should do. We should do one of those pixelated photos where it's a bunch of little tattoos of Matthew and I that when you look far away, it's a big photo of Chapin.
It looks really good.
You know what I mean?
That's pretty cool.
Smart and creative.
I don't know if
Field wants this wedding to actually happen, so I'm going to say that this is not going to
take
place.
But anyway, I don't know if anyone saw, but, you know, Daniel finished last in the Fantasy Show League, the league that we do with all the characters of the Fantasy Show, and had to get a tattoo. Tiffer Wright from Dallas, who was
awesome.
One of the finalists of Ink Masters, a really talented guy, came here. We filmed the whole thing. You can see it on my Twitter feed or at Daniel's at Daniel Dopp or on the ESPN
Instagram.
Fantasy Sports
at Matthew Berry
or at Matthew Berry Instagram.
Yeah. Yeah,
at Matthew Berry TMR Instagram. So it's on all those platforms. Just check it out. You have to see this tattoo. What did Mrs. Squirrel say when she saw the tattoo for the first time?
She thought it was phenomenal. She could not believe that it came out as well as it did. She doesn't care about whatever. I got an anime sleeve. Like, she's fine with a couple of puppets.
Okay.
Right.
No big deal.
That's fair. Like, she's long ago basically said, like, I'm marrying for personality.
Exactly.
Right. That ship sailed.
Daniel's got a lot going on. The Browns lose 26-24 yesterday, but a spirited effort for them. Baker Mayfield is fun to watch. Jarvis Landry,
yeah, he is.
Is their best wide receiver. 5 for 102. Baker, though, is a quarterback that gives me so much confidence. I think that's probably the big question surrounding the Browns going into next year. And by the way, they have a head coaching search going on right now. We do not know who it will be. We think it could be. They will be at least interview Greg Williams. They will at least interview Freddie Kitchens. They will interview a ton of people. Matt Eberflus from the Indianapolis Colts. I imagine Josh McDaniels will be on their radar. Brian Flores from the Patriots.
I saw one rumor that they might be talking to Mike McCarthy.
Mike McCarthy could be on the radar there. But the question is this. Baker Mayfield, top 10 quarterback going into next year? Too rich for your blood?
Might be a little bit too rich, but I think he'll be a popular sleeper next year.
I think so too,
and I think he will. I think there's going to be a lot of value to be had for the Browns. Like, so you mentioned Jarvis Landry, but how about Antonio Callaway, who was a guy that, you know, had some off the field issues in college, but from a pure talent standpoint was a first round talent. Like, in terms of draft evaluators, him as a first round guy. And so after scaling him back a little bit, you know, they brought him along, and he's been really impressive, frankly, since they've changed the offensive coordinator. And so 4 for 79 on 7 targets, like, he's got, you know, tremendous speed. And so I think Antonio Callaway is kind of interesting. Breshad Perriman has seemed to have found a second life. People forget was a first round pick and sort of washed out in Baltimore, but seems to have found kind of a new home here.
I think they don't forget that. I think that that's the one that they remember, is he was a first round pick, and that's why he's such a notable guy.
I know. Well, sorry, but I mean, so fair. But anyway, but you
what
know,
they forget is that there was a time he used to be good.
Yeah.
Right. Correct. Right. And now, healthy.
Yes. Injury plagued for his first 2-3 years.
Yeah. But anyway, I think there's some real interesting pieces in Cleveland, obviously, and Nick Chubb.
How about Nick Chubb? Yeah,
finishes as the 17th best running back in fantasy and didn't get a fair start, to be honest. Didn't get a touch until Carlos Hyde was left, but I have him inside my top 10 of running backs. You know, I released my top 50. You can check that out if you look for the week 17 love hate. I'm sorry, the week 16 love hate. My way too early top 50 is out, and I'll expand on that in the coming weeks. But, you know, Chubb's a star, and so I think there's going to be some real interesting be interesting to see who their coach is. But if I were a Browns fan, Keith Lipscomb,
I would be happy.
I would be optimistic.
I'm with you on
that. I'd rather be a Browns fan today than like a Redskins fan, for example.
Here's your chance to do it.
Yeah, it's right. There's still room on the bandwagon.
Nah, I mean, like,
room on the bandwagon, I know.
Boy, I will say, and I said this last year, this is not like some bandwagon stuff. I said this last year, I interviewed Baker Mayfield at the NFLPA rookie premiere, and you and I had that conversation, and I said, I don't know if the kid can play, but man, I sure liked him. Like, just in the 20 minutes or so that I got to interview him, I thought he was smart and charming, and I'm just like, I can see guys rallying around him. And we've seen that, you know, we've seen that on the field this year and with the press, and like he solved Cleveland's quarterback problems. Like, Lamar, that kid's a stud.
Lamar Jackson may have solved the Ravens' quarterback problems. He definitely has solved their running game problems.
Yeah.
The running game
got them into the playoffs.
Now. Yeah, he got him into the playoffs. He had 90 rushing yards and 2 touchdowns. We assume pretty comfortably that Joe Flacco is no longer a part of the Ravens' future. But Lamar Jackson, kind of the same question here. He had 179 passing yards. So again, I think he's thrown for more than 200 yards once in 7 starts this season.
It's amazing.
Would you rather have Baker Mayfield or Lamar Jackson going into this season? That might be a conversation people are going to have next year going into fantasy.
I think I'd rather have Baker.
Mm.
But I think there's upside with Baker. Although, I mean, well, you know,
here's the question, though.
I mean, that's a tough one for Lamar Jackson.
I mean,
well, listen, I mean, in the rushing, just keep, like, if he learns to throw it in a consistent way, sky's the limit,
right?
I mean, like, but, I mean, you think about Michael. The easy comparison is Michael Vick, but just you think about kind of like how good Michael Vick was from a fantasy perspective, you know, when he was healthy. I mean, that's the kind of upside we're talking about, because he's that good running, and if the throwing can get there. Yeah.
The question apparently is I think, like, Lamar Jackson is not a refined thrower right now. He has the ability to get there, but if he doesn't get there, can teams find a way to bottle cap his running ability?
Keep your eye on the first playoff game, because now you're going to have a team that has faced him before, and you see if they make defensive adjustments. I think that is the big question. I mean, that's one of the I do want to see that, because he's been this new shiny object for all these teams to try and capture, and they haven't been able to do it. Now you got a team that's going to be facing him for the second time. I'm interested to see what
And obviously
do.
If he stays in tow as the starting quarterback, which we have no reason to believe he will not, very interesting to see what happens with all of the wide receivers, who are going to be very difficult to invest in next year based off how they threw the football this season. The Lions spank the Packers 31-0.
Better late than never, Daniel.
Matt Patricia's yesterday 31-0. They were phenomenal. Zach Zenner was great for them. But I would say this. Although this was one of the best wins of the day yesterday, it might be one of the wins that had the least fantasy consequence going forward, right? I mean, Zach Zenner, he won't be their starting running back next year.
TJ Jones.
TJ Jones. three receptions for 40 yards and two touchdowns. Remember,
with then Kenny Galladay not
Kenny
playing,
Galladay, they're out. Right. Wide receiver will be in need for the Lions this offseason. One of the touchdowns yesterday was a Levine Toilolo touchdown catch.
He's good for a touchdown a year, so every year. No, that was maybe my favorite highlight of the day yesterday.
It was amazing.
Actually,
if you
that
haven't
and Kyle Williams.
Yet, I tweeted a link to it. Pat McAfee, former Colts punter, current and future WWE star. He was recently hired by the WWE. Had an absolutely hilarious call of that play. Yep. He could not contain his excitement. And if it bothers you, if people are down on the, you know, like stepping on the toes of the play-by-play guy, like just live a little, have some fun. Pat McAfee was genuinely excited. The Packers.
Also, really quickly, Field, just so you know, I just talked to Keith, and we are going to add quarterback eligibility to Matt Prater for 2019.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Wow.
You know what? It's interesting, but I think it gets overlooked a little bit, but Matthew Stafford played all 16 games. Was drafted as a top 10 fantasy quarterback this year and finishes as QB20. He finishes behind Case Keenum. He finishes behind Derek Carr. He finishes behind Eli Manning. I think there is an argument to be made that Matthew Stafford was the fantasy bust of the year.
If only somebody had rated him as their pick for the quarterback bust in advance of the season and took a lot of grief for it.
I believe he was a top 10 quarterback. I believe his ADP was QB, I want to say it was QB 10, somewhere between QB 8 and 12.
Do I get no credit for this?
Stefan, no, you were on there.
Yeah.
Because
Danny, he was quarterback 16 and he finishes quarterback 20.
That's not true.
I wasn't the only one down.
No, hang on. That data is there are, Keith, back me up here.
Kyle has this right now. He's saying he was quarterback 12. Once the data stopped populating at a certain time, he was QB 12.
Right. Because there are drafts that go on after the season that skew those numbers.
Correct.
But in terms of
the, so he was quarterback 12 and he finished as quarterback 20.
We stop when we look at the average draft position, we stop it on opening night. For our purposes, because that's the real beginning of the season. You know, at that point, after you draft, because our ADP on the site continues to show it all the way through the end of drafts whenever we stop them.
Right.
But that's not the real ADP because we know that things change as soon as the season starts. So like the year that Alan Hearns had a big week one, for example.
Right.
Yeah, you know, he was his ADP shot through the roof, you know, starting that Sunday.
Because there are leagues that draft after the first week, that draft after the second week. So anyway, Thirsty Kyle is saying that his real ADP was QB 12.
QB 12. He was drafted 14 actual spots ahead of the likes of Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, obviously. But like, we can't use Patrick Mahomes. Like, Patrick Mahomes was drafted behind like every player. Like, every player drafted ahead of Patrick Mahomes.
You're an idiot if you drafted anyone other than Patrick Mahomes.
Okay, so anyways, we're belaboring the point that Matthew Stafford, he was obviously.
He stunk. He was brutal.
As
he was
did
awful.
The Packers yesterday in that game. The Packers got nothing going offensively. Marquez Valdes-Scantling led them with 7.3 points. Aaron Rodgers left this game, Stefania, after 1 point because of a concussion.
And obviously you hope the best for him. Look, here's a guy who stuck it out, was injured in week one. And there are a lot of other quarterbacks who would not have taken the field for multiple weeks after that. Might even have gone on short-term IR or, you know, the IR eligibility to return. But Aaron Rodgers, after going through what he went through last year, wanted to try and play, played in a brace. I give him a lot of credit for playing through what he played through. And because he was fairly functional, people, I think, forget how significant that injury was. Then he dealt with wide receiver injuries across the board, you know, just everybody up and down, in and out. Took a long time for them to develop their run game and free Aaron Jones. So I don't think the Packers, it's hard to take their season and feel like that's a real capsule of what they have there.
Yet another team that will be looking for a new head coach. We'll get into what that coach means for them. Again, when you have a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, we automatically give you an ounce of optimism going into the next season. We're going to take a quick break and come right back and keep wrapping up the final week 17 games.
Tennessee, you're in the 06010.
All right, and now a note from our final ZipRecruiter Smartest Fan of the Week. He was our weekly fill-in, Jackson.
Hey, this is Jackson, the ZipRecruiter smartest fan of the week, and I want to give a shout out to my girlfriend Heather, who's been my fantasy good luck charm this entire season. Thanks, babe. Now, back to the show.
Good pipes there from Jackson, and smart to give a shout out to your girlfriend Heather.
Thanks, babe.
Well done.
It was smooth.
Let's keep things going here.
Thanks, babe.
With the Panthers.
You call Chapin babe?
Babe? I don't think that's one of my go-to. Maybe. Yes.
What do you call her?
Chapin.
Chapin.
Yeah, mostly Chapin.
I was going to say, I'm surprised you didn't call her Chapin Duke.
Yeah. The thing is,
love you, Chapin Duke.
We don't have your...
Pass me the mayonnaise, Chapin Duke.
What?
Let's spend the night together, Chapin Duke. I just feel like, it's very formal. I just feel like, I could see her, you know.
Yeah.
What are the circumstances?
That sounds good,
like,
Field Yates.
And what table is it set where it's like, yeah, here's a side of mayonnaise for the table to pass around.
A very formal dinner table, obviously.
That's what you're focusing on. That's what it would be. Last name.
What about salt? Salt, right?
It would be this.
We can all agree there's mayonnaise at Field's table, right?
No,
can't.
And it would be phrased. It would be phrased like this. The question I have is, Chapin Duke, will you please pass the mayonnaise?
Right.
No, first,
we don't have very nicknameable names, right? I mean, Chapin and Field are so unique on their own.
Sure.
That a lot of it is pretty much just.
But no, babe, no honey, no
I
sugar
call her
bear.
My shrimp, because there was a time where we were we're on
so
Nantucket
cute.
And we're going to get her something like a cover up for the beach.
Yeah.
And we were at the store, and she went and got she thought she was grabbing the smallest size. And it was still too big for her. She's
petite.
Yes. Yeah.
And the woman said, we actually have a different size, smaller than small. And she was like, what's that? She's like, it's called shrimp. And I was like, I always call her. She is a shrimp. So she's my little shrimp. And she calls me an elephant because I never forget.
Right. I like that. That's cute.
What do you call Beth?
What do I call Beth?
Is it suitable for the air?
Some of the names are suitable for air. No, I mean, I think we're like honey.
I have heard you call her honey.
We're big on honey. I will share an adorable little story when,
we'll decide if it's adorable.
So sometimes I call her Nacho. And so, because what happened is one time, Beth is also petite, as you guys know. And so when she was pregnant with the twins, she was enormous for her frame. I mean, she was carrying around 13 pounds of baby.
Yeah.
And so, she was just all belly. And so we were at the beach and we were on vacation. We're having like a babycation or whatever, just before the last thing she could do before she, couldn't travel anymore. And so she's there in like one of those tankinis, and so we ordered nachos. We ordered nachos and she's sitting there eating nachos, and she doesn't realize she's got cheese all over her belly, but her belly is so big she doesn't see that she's got all this nacho cheese on her belly, and so whatever, we're on the beach, the whole thing, and then we come back to the room that night,
and you didn't help her out.
I didn't notice. I'm like, whatever. I'm like, what am I gonna say? So anyway, she didn't do anything, so I'm like, I didn't want to bring it up. So anyway, we walk by, and she's like. How long have I had this on? Like, she walks by a mirror and she sees it finally, and she's like, how long have, and I'm like, all day. And she was just like, you didn't tell me? I'm like, well, I thought you just wanted it. I'm like, whatever. What are you going to do?
I thought you just wanted that nacho cheese on the underside of your belly, Beth. I don't know.
Well, it's also because you're on the beach and you're all sort of set up and whatever. You're on vacation and what is she going to do? Go, change? Like, she's not super mobile at this point.
No.
And so, anyway, the point is, so anytime one of us spills something or something, we're just nacho. So that is a.
Hey, it's like a little hint. It's a little inside hint.
It's a little inside joke.
If you spilled something on your tie, she's like, nacho.
Right, but that is a term of endearment that I have for her. It is just, so that reminds us of that vacation, which we had a lot of fun. So yes, sometimes I call her Nacho. So that's, there you go.
That was
cute little nickname.
I like that, yeah.
Yes.
Nacho took care of five items.
We'll have to get
business,
nacho and shrimp together during the off season.
That's right. A nacho and a shrimp trip.
Yeah.
The Panthers snapped their seven game losing streak, with a win over the Saints 33-14. A good story in Kyle Allen, the former Texas A&M freshman who transferred eventually, finished at Houston despite being benched during his senior season.
Let's hear it for former Texas A&M quarterbacks that Kyle Allen, Kyler Murray, you leave Texas A&M, like you go on to really good success. Thank you, Kevin Sumlin. All right, go ahead.
Kyle Allen did play well yesterday. 25 fantasy points. He rushed for a touchdown and threw two more. I'll just say this, guys. Like, I thought he looked good yesterday. Like,
yeah.
There's been all this talk about how Nick Mullins has proven he's an NFL quarterback. It's a much bigger sample size for Mullins, so we all believe it. But Kyle Allen gave me some optimism as a potential developmental quarterback behind Cam Newton yesterday.
I would agree with you. And you wonder, you know, if they like Taylor Heineke, I wonder if Kyle Allen is trade bait this summer. You know what I mean? Like, he may have done it. We've seen this before.
It's probably too small of a sample size for him to be trade bait, per se. Like, what are you going to get? Like, I don't think a team's going to say, you know, he got hurt yesterday. Like, he played, like, whatever, 2.5 quarters, so we should trade a pick away for him, you know?
Right.
And if you're the Panthers, by the way, you got to protect yourself because Cam Newton has been banged up, and they were already thin at quarterback behind him. I don't know the severity of Taylor Heineke's elbow injury.
Yeah, I think it would have been a few week injury if we were in the regular season.
So something to keep an eye on there is what happens with Kyle Allen going forward. But this team, really, it comes down to how do they develop their young wide receivers. Devin Funchess was inactive yesterday. DJ Moore at 4 for 81. Curtis Samuel at 2 for 72 and a touchdown. Ian Thomas at 5 for 61 and a touchdown. You're kind of seeing the core, right? I mean, those guys, those three players could be the future of this Carolina offense catching passes from Cam Newton. Obviously, Christian McCaffrey is the focal point, but they're going to have to get young, and they're going to have to see these young guys get good in a hurry, or else they're going to have to go investing. I think that probably the best avenue for Carolina is to develop those players. I think that's the best chance for them to make a leap going into next year. Okay. That drew rousing reaction.
No, I would agree. I mean, no, I completely agree. I mean, I think the future is bright for the Carolina Panthers. It's all going to come down to Cam's health, but, you know, the expectation is that Ron Rivera is returning and Norv Turner will return as well. They've done a great job with that offense. You know, and so, I mean, where would you rank McCaffrey next year?
2, 3?
Yeah. I mean, I think he's got to be, right?
I don't know how I could put him much lower than that.
Right. I mean, I think it's
the only way that I would move him down.
I think I have him at four because I had Gurley, Barkley, and Zeke ahead of him.
The only way that I'd move him down would be something like this. Let's say, and I'm just making this up here, a player like Kenyon Drake, who is like 26 or whatever, free agent to be.
Right.
Like, if they signed a guy like Kenyon Drake, like a player who is not a surefire, like, stud, but also good enough that, like, you don't sign him to not use him. Right. Like, if they make a moderate investment in a running back, I might move McCaffrey down a tiny bit, like 4 or 5. But otherwise, like, got to be top 3. The guy's unbelievable.
Yeah. He's amazing. He's amazing. I think that was my best call of the year.
The Saints push forward. Traquan Smith led them in receiving yesterday with 30 yards and a touchdown. The Saints obviously played most of their backups yesterday. Dwayne Washington had 11 rushes for 108 yards. Teddy Bridgewater threw his first touchdown pass, I believe, in like, what, 3 or 4 years?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
None of the usual suspects really out there. Mike Thomas and Mark Ingram both had 5 touches apiece, and congratulations to Mike Thomas for setting the single-season record for most yards in a season, receiving record, that is. But for the Saints yesterday, really, it's like, you know, the players, the question for them might be this, like, hey, you know, like, if they, we had this conversation off the air before this, like,
if they win the Super Bowl,
Drew Brees hang it up?
And
I don't have any idea, but I would think, I just feel like that's a great way to go out.
It's a great way to go out. There are, you know, random Damien, who listeners of this show don't really know who he is. He's the Stata Pillar on the fantasy show on ESPN Plus, which, by the way, has 2 new episodes coming out this week. We have a best of, and we have a wrap up as well. That'll be out on, I think, late Wednesday. So later this week. So check that out on ESPN Plus. But Stata Pillar over there was talking about the fact that there's still some personal records that Drew Brees has yet to reach. So that would be one reason where he comes back.
Because he also signed a 2-year deal, I'm not sure there's a player who is more inextricably linked with the city right now in the NFL than Drew Brees in New Orleans, right?
Sure.
Like, I think Philip Rivers was there with LA. It was San Diego, excuse me. And, like, there's some other, certainly, you know, listen. There are
Brady
other,
in New England, Brady in Boston.
But I mean, region, but,
right, yeah, yeah.
A little bit different. Like, I think, but Drew Brees in New Orleans, because his arrival coincided with the rise, the re-rise of New Orleans, that, like, he may keep going also because, like, Drew Brees is thinking good. Like, he is unbelievable.
He is, but
now my vote would not be for him, but I think he has a good chance of winning the MVP this year.
I would agree with that.
I think he's so tied to the city. We'll talk about that when we get to Kansas City. But as far as Drew Brees sticking around, I would love to say, maybe it's the health person in me is like, look at what he's been through. He's overcome his shoulder by no means should he be able to do the things that he does, but he works incredibly hard to make it functional. Why not go out when you're fit? You hate to see guys drop off and then go out. Like, if he were to win the Super Bowl.
You mean
maybe it's I'm projecting.
Pull an Eli, to use a phrase.
You know.
The one thing that'll be interesting, like, and I would have to think because they have home field and the Superdome is such a tough place to play if you're an opposing team, I think they're, you know, most people would think they are a favorite to get to the Super Bowl. And then the game is going to be
in a dome.
Is in a dome in Atlanta, you know, a place where they're very familiar. So I don't think anyone would be surprised if the Saints end up winning the Super Bowl this year. It'd be interesting to see what ends up happening with Mark Ingram and whether they establish a second, consistent pass catcher outside of Michael Thomas. We saw flashes from Tre'Quan Smith this year.
But
they never really seemed to establish.
I was trying to bait you into saying something on the air. For last show, I figured you might swear.
Oh, Ted Ginn. I should.
Yeah, and Cameron Meredith didn't pay off at all this year after a big one-year contract.
Not. You know, that's a big health concern now. Let's see what. So a lot of Saints news to divulge into or to get into,
It'll be interesting to see. I mean, you would assume that Teddy Bridgewater probably makes some money this offseason.
Yeah, but I think yesterday would have been a great opportunity for him to really shine, and he didn't.
Yeah, no, I know.
Yeah. So anyways, we'll say but
when you think about how starved
quarterback options are very limited.
Yep. So I bet you he gets a shot at starting somewhere.
I wouldn't be surprised if he got like somewhere between $15 and $18 million a season.
I mean, when you think about what Sam Bradford got last year, you know, like Case Keenum.
You would hope that teams learn from like, don't do dumb things. Like give Sam Bradford $20 million a season.
Teams never learn.
The Cowboys win 36-35 in a dramatic finish over the Giants. Blake Jarwin. I'm sure you all had him inside your top five tight end rankings. He had never caught a touchdown pass before yesterday. He made three of them yesterday. Cole Beasley had one of the best plays of the year to win this game for the Cowboys.
It was unbelievable 15. Catch.
Great throw by Dak Prescott as well. No Zeke in this game. Amari Cooper actually played and had 11 targets. He played for most of this game. So the Cowboys kind of were lying when they said they weren't going to play their stars or were going to play their stars and kind of also not lying. You know, like they did not play Zeke, and they had Tyron Smith and Zach Martin down, but some of the other key guys did.
I was shocked, and I honestly thought it was dumb that they played Dak as much as they did.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, they got away with it, you know, no injury or anything like that, but there were a couple of times where he was on some rollouts that, like, I mean, anyway, I thought it was very surprising, and be interesting to see what happens in that playoff game.
Against the Seattle Seahawks. That game is going to be on Fox on Saturday.
I will say this,
though,
Dak had a great game. And sometimes what you want is your guy to roll in on super momentum. And this was one of the best games that he'd had this year.
If you're going to play him, the hope is that he builds confidence in this game and he comes out healthy.
Right.
Both things accomplished by the Giants, by the Cowboys, in part because of the Giants who aren't very good. The Giants will have the sixth pick in the draft. I tweeted the draft order today. And someone, for the non-playoff teams, and someone responded to the effect of like classic form by the Giants to use
to
a pick
Justin.
Six to replace Eli Manning.
Oh.
I was like, that's pretty good right
that's
there.
That's a good response. Clever. That's a good response. Although the expectations are right now that
Eli Manning could stick around. Saquon Barkley sticking around, that's for sure. Saquon Barkley has 109 rushing yards, one of the most remarkable seasons from a rookie. Not really a fantasy question. Quickly, your vote. Baker Mayfield, Saquon Barkley, rookie of the year. Who you got? I'm going Baker.
I'm going Baker as well because the position is tougher, but Barkley has been short of phenomenal.
Stefania, any vote there?
I lean towards Saquon.
Okay.
Hey, how many total yards did Saquon Barkley finish with,
a million,
by the way?
Yeah.
No, I know, but like one of my bold predictions this year, I went back and looked at my bold predictions at the beginning of the year.
He finished with 2,052, I believe.
One of my bold predictions, and listen, there were some huge misses.
It was 2,022, but still not.
No, but that was one of my bold predictions was 2,000 total yards for Saquon Barkley.
Nailed it.
Which I mentioned the preseason. Yeah, no, I had some good calls. I also had some like brutal ones as well, which is bold calls. You expect that.
I think that Saquon,
but
was,
that was
productive
one that
worked out. Every single week.
Disappointed in Odell Beckham Jr., dude. Disappointed. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
Missed the final four games because of a quad injury. Like, just not a good, just honestly.
Looks bad. And it's just in terms of like, you know, when I did my initial, my way too early top 50, I think I had him, I don't know exactly where I had him in terms of wide receivers, but I had him ranked towards the end of the second round. And Beckham's just one of those guys that I probably won't have on any rosters unless the value gets so great, because it just, the talent is undeniable.
But there's always
but it doesn't sit right.
It's always something. It's just, fantasy's a little bit about rooting for players you like, and
it's a lot about that. And, you know, and by the way, you know.
And also, if Eli's his quarterback, you don't love that.
You hate to see the narrative of a guy getting paid and then underwhelming with his performance and appearing to underwhelm with effort after that happens, after that money gets paid out. And I'm wondering, Field, if one of our co-hosts could, you know, shed some light on what's it like to go into the mindset of someone who earns a big contract, gets a big payday, and then kind of coasts.
Well, I feel like you're trying to like do some subtle jab there at me, and I'll just
wisdom. I'm just looking for some insight from someone who is.
Well, I guess for me, to answer that question, I feel like I've always coasted, and so I feel like that's sort of what I got paid for, is just, you know, kind of like,
because you used to say you were going to Hainsworth it.
Yeah, I'm totally. Maybe it's Odelling it.
Redskins good moves. Let's talk about the Albert Hainsworth contract.
Exactly. Listen, I owned it. I mean, like here's the difference between me and Odell, right? I've completely owned it. I'm totally Hainsworthing it, 100%. Tarika, you remember? I said that from day one. I've been saying that from day one.
Let's keep this.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, like, this lack of hustle is nothing new.
We got a
like,
lot
this
of games.
This is what got
to.
Me paid.
That's
true. This half-assing.
Make a good
the
point.
Falcons finish on a strong note with three straight wins. Matt Ryan throws for 378 yards and two touchdowns. A nice season for Matt Ryan. Finishes, I believe, a top five quarterback this year. Very good from Matt Ryan.
Didn't feel like it,
except for that week one. Number two quarterback in fantasy football. Man,
really?
I was giving him top five. Number two.
That's
a quiet.
I have never
two
felt
fantasy.
Like I was. I have never felt like a number two that didn't feel like a number two.
But
you know what I mean?
For you, Matt Ryan, finishing number two behind only, of course, Patrick Mahomes, just ahead of Ben Roethlisberger. But the story of the day yesterday was Julio Jones. Like, I'm trying to, so Julio goes 9 for 138 with a touchdown, which means that Julio Jones clinches me a board bet of 7.5 touchdowns. I had the over. Matthew had the under. He goes for 8. Julio makes it dramatic.
Julio.
Daniel, it is 2018.
Yep.
I am giving you the floor one last time. Do you wish to retract your statement that Julio Jones is overrated?
Julio Jones absolutely delivered this year. You can tell that he listened to the podcast, because after about halfway through the season, he started to get in the end zone a little bit. So I do want to say congratulations to Julio Jones on what was a fantastic NFL season. I never once said you weren't a great NFL player. I just said that I don't think that I would be drafting you at the point that you were being drafted at. So from that standpoint, Julio, absolutely phenomenal, and there's no way to take anything away from that this year.
A touchdown reception in all three games since over Rate Gate, according to Kyle.
Yeah, and he won the board bet. That last touchdown, thanks for the defense, Tampa Bay. That last touchdown puts Field half a touchdown over. You win that board bet. Congratulations to you.
I know, but
I did not acknowledge it. I'm congratulating you. I'm being magnanimous. I know you didn't recognize it because it doesn't happen often, but I am, this is me congratulating you, admitting defeat.
This is good.
Congratulating you on your victory, your hard earned victory. Very well done there. Just want to give a, at Chicatholic FB.
Okay.
Chicago Catholic FB. Just tweeted at me, just a piece of advice for the podcast, Field. I'm curious for your thoughts. It says, lose squirrel disaster, gain a million viewers. So it feels like, Secret Squirrel, if we lose you, we would literally gain a million viewers.
I mean, for a million viewers, I would do that for you guys.
I feel like, right?
Magnanimous, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
that
like,
would be impressive.
I would do that. If so many people didn't agree with me, I would just happily sail off into the sunset. But there's a lot of nonsensical nonsense out there, and people are, you know.
People love Secret Star. Absolutely.
Nonsense.
Secret
As
Star.
As opposed to the sensical nonsense.
Yes.
Exactly.
But here's an opportunity. If you agree with the Chicago Cath FB, or Chicago Catholic FB, I don't know. CHI out or whatever. If you agree with him or you disagree with him, or maybe you want less of me, who knows? You can go to podcastopinions.com. We'd love to get your thoughts on the show as we evaluate everything
right,
for 2019. Podcastopinions.com.
These final handful of games.
I think the big question for Atlanta is obviously the run game next year.
Yep. Does Devontae Freeman come back with a vengeance? I expect he will.
And, you know, and does Tevin Coleman move on? That's the expectation. So is it Ito Smith? Is it Brian Hill? Who's the backup? Is it a 1-2 punch? Is there a coaching change?
No.
You don't believe so?
Coordinator change? Yes. Head coaching change? No. The Bucks lose 34-32. They have made a coaching change. Dirk Cutter is out. Jameis Winston likely to stay, as Adam Schefter reported yesterday. GM Jason Light is staying in Tampa Bay. He's leading the coaching search, and the future, I think, is bright for this team. They've got two star wide receivers back under contract next year. Mike Evans is one of them, and Chris Godwin is the other.
Yeah.
He had a monster game yesterday, 6-for-114 and 2 touchdowns. Adam Humphrey's going to get paid this offseason. He's an unrestricted free agent. Watch Adam Humphrey's make some nice money.
Well, especially because it's a particularly weak free agent class.
Quincy Newman just got $9 million a year.
Which
one would you rather have?
Right. So it's a weak free agent class at the wide receiver position. So I agree with you. Humphrey's going to get paid. The expectation is DeSean Jackson will not be back with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as well. Chris Godwin is going to be this year's Corey Davis, which is one of those guys that, like, everyone in the fantasy community is going to be on him as a sleeper.
Okay. Not a bad call right there.
Not in terms of production next year, because I'm a Chris Godwin believer, but I do think in terms of, like, you know, there were a couple guys that, like, sort of the entire fantasy community was on. Corey Davis was one of them this year. I think Chris Godwin will be that guy next year.
The Jaguars are a disaster. They are a complete embarrassment this season. They lose 20-3. Their highest scoring fantasy player yesterday was Keelan Cole with 8.5
points. Dude, they lost the Redskins at home.
It's not even that. See the running back sitting on the bench and then Tom Coughlin calling it out afterward. It's just all the dysfunction.
Now, they have just recently confirmed that they have removed the guarantees from Leonard Fournette's contract. What does that mean? It means that if they want to trade him, they want to cut him. It's a lot easier to do than it would have been otherwise.
Didn't they say that there was something when he was suspended for a game that it voided that?
So suspensions can, based off of the type of suspension and the language in a player's contract. Yesterday, the team had to issue a statement regarding Leonard Fournette and TJ Yeldon, who looked disinterested.
That's what I was saying. Tom Coughlin was
on the bench yesterday.
He said it was so unprofessional.
So the Jaguars are a disaster. I'm not even going to spin things forward to next year because we have no idea. Like, I could tell you about how Carlos Hyde could be the man, but that's putting the cart before the horse a little bit. This is more of a...
But you think Leonard Fournette is gone?
I would not be surprised if Leonard Fournette is gone. That's my feeling on the Jaguars going into 2019. A lot of notable names could be gone. The Texans plunge into the playoffs with 11 wins in their last 12 games. DeAndre Hopkins had 26.7 fantasy points. The only thing about DeAndre that was hard to figure out yesterday was his outfit before the game. But how could I possibly question this dude? 26.7 fantasy points. He was remarkable. Deshaun Watson had 22 fantasy points. In terms of a quarterback wide receiver duo, it's one of the better wide receiver quarterback duos I can think of in the NFL. Maybe the highest rated going into next year, along with Julio Jones and Matt Ryan and Ben Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown. They were awesome this year.
Yeah, they really were. That, by the way, it's like I'm sitting here patting myself on the back for like Chris McCaffrey and like whatever, George Kittle, some other calls. Couldn't have been more wrong on Ben Roethlisberger. Was terrific. Was nothing short
was
of fantastic.
Great.
Anyway.
By the way, for the Texans, we'll see. So yes, Lamar Miller was good yesterday. We'll see whether or not Lamar Miller is still part of their plans next year. Deontay Foreman was a healthy scratch yesterday. Mm-hmm. You think between him and maybe another investment in running back, there could be a turning of the tables. The Chargers win 23-9. Pretty ugly game, to be honest with you.
You know who's going to be tough to rank next year, just as long as we're talking Texans real quick? Will Fuller.
Yeah, he will be. Coming off another major injury.
Right. You know, the talent's phenomenal. The offense and the quarterback, it's all right there. And then yet, he can't stay healthy.
Yeah.
Or hasn't been able to so far in his pro career. So that'll be...
They really got, you know, blasted at wide receiver because Will Fuller got hurt. Been dealing with the ongoing hamstring. Yeah. Marius Thomas season-ending Achilles. You don't know what's going to happen with him. I mean, they really took still winning 11 of their last 12 games.
Sorting out the non-DeAndre Hopkins wide receivers in Houston will be something that we'll spend a lot of time on this offseason. Hopkins, by the way, finishes as the second best wide receiver in fantasy this year.
Chargers win over the Broncos 23-9. I think the focal point I'm going to mention here, Stefania, is actually for those looking ahead to DFS and wildcard weekend, as Melvin Gordon left this game with, I believe, a knee injury.
Well, they said he tweaked his ankle.
Oh, ankle, I'm sorry.
But, you know, this is, again, the Chargers, you know, little bit once bitten, twice shy, right? Then when he was playing before, after having some knee soreness and he stayed in, he ended up with the MCL injury. I think the fact that something cropped up, they're like, look, you're done for the day. He said later he could have gone back in if that was required. So this is not anything that's going to threaten his status for their playoff game. But obviously they're being careful.
That's good news there. We saw another touchdown from Mike Williams. Could be a player that, depending on how things shake out in free agency next year for other Chargers offensive players, could be a big-time part of that offense. And a good note here, no fantasy actionable, but Hunter Henry expected to play for them next week, according to Adam Schefter.
This is pretty cool. It's pretty remarkable. People may have forgotten he tore his ACL early in the offseason, but still, this is a very short window. I would temper my expectations for a guy coming back this quickly off ACL. You know, what a great opportunity if they're able to progress in the playoffs that he gets to be a part of it. But if you're looking for productivity, I would temper my expectations.
The Broncos are another team that I'm going to kind of throw out yesterday. They score 9 points, one touchdown. That went from Case Keenum to Andy Yanovich, their fullback out of Nebraska. But another head coaching change in Denver. And this feels like it could be one of those teams that has about as big of an overhaul as any. Not just a head coach, but a lot of things could change. This could be like Arizona was last year. Like, I think there's a feeling that this could be the youth movement time in Denver. But you liked some of the young wide receivers, Deshaun Hamilton, perhaps Cortland Sutton, Tim Patrick. But, you know, their best offensive player is Emmanuel Sanders. He might be back before the start of the season next year.
Yeah, I mean, Achilles tear late in the year. It's certainly difficult to come back from that. And timing-wise, I think we're just going to have to wait and see how he's progressing in the offseason. Plus, when these guys come back from Achilles, they're often they're not quite themselves when they first return, especially in the early stages. So keep a close eye on Emmanuel Sanders.
But, you know, it's interesting. I mean, like, Tim Patrick's actually been better than Cortland Sutton since Emmanuel Sanders went down. Deshaun Hamilton's been nice, dropped a touchdown. I had a brutal day yesterday in fantasy. I used Deshaun to replace Davante Adams when Adams was ruled out, and of course Deshaun Hamilton then drops a touchdown pass. It was I think he would have walked into the end zone had he made the catch. But regardless, I think in terms of Denver, to your point here, Field, look, they've got two running backs. You know, it's going to be Lindsey and Freeman. It's going to be a little bit lightning and thunder with Lindsey being the lead back there. Obviously, Vance Joseph is not going to be back, so we'll see what happens with their offense. Gary Kubiak's in that building. Does he have a role? I wonder if there's something there with Kubiak in terms of the offense, because he's still working with Denver in the Broncos organization. And do they make a change at quarterback? Do they draft somebody? Do they keep Case Keenum but bring in some competition? What happens there, I think, will be something interesting to watch. I think your thoughts of trying to go with a little bit of a youth movement here is a correct one.
The Raiders get waxed yesterday by the Chiefs 35-3. Just a quick note, though. Jordy Nelson finished the season really strong in his final five games. 38 catches for 386 yards. He's a pro. Football farmer, man. He continues to be a big part of them. And they recently did a little bit of a contract reworking with Jordy Nelson. And he was going to probably be back, but this sort of reaffirmed that he's back next year. So if nothing else, a great mentor is what I would say for the young guys that are going to come through. The Raiders obviously have very little in the way of offensive keepers. Doug Martin, he's a free agent. So there's not a lot of stability in Oakland, but they're going to have to find ways to infuse the offense with some pieces.
Well, they've got a lot of draft capital, and I think they're in decent cap shape.
Yep.
You know, so can the specter of Las Vegas, you know, coming up very soon, and John Gruden and his staff,
they've already hired Mike Mayock, new GM.
Yep. Yeah, and you know what, I want to just take one moment here. Bill Barnwell made a what I thought was a really smart comment on Twitter about Mayock, and I think a lot of people that don't like that selection are sitting here poking out different evaluations that Mayock have made that have not turned out. And, you know, Bill, and I'm paraphrasing here, but Bill's basic take was, is that we don't know whether Mayock's going to be successful or not. But I think it is unfair because Mayock is somebody that has had to have an opinion and grade every single player. And that's been public, which is something that every general manager does not have to go through. I mean, like, so there's obviously every single team misses on draft picks every single year. And you don't know how they've looked at their entire board. You know, Mayock, and same with Mel or Todd, or even those of us in the fantasy industry, or anyone that, you know, has to comment on.
Right. I mean, this is when people cherry pick our best or worst calls.
Correct.
Like, on average, we hope that we are better than if you just spun a wheel. Right. So that's the reality of the business. Mike knows that when he signed up for it. And Mike, I think, will do a good job for the Raiders, who obviously need a lot of talent. So, the Chiefs are locked in with talent. Patrick Mahomes completed the finest season ever by a quarterback in fantasy football. The only question, I don't even know if I want to go here, because I hate the idea of turning the page on appreciation for such a great season. I know the question's going to be, can he keep it up for next year?
Right.
I'm just going to enjoy.
Right.
Enjoy.
Mike Clay and I had a bit of an argument on Fantasy Football Now Sunday morning, because, like, I have him as a second rounder in my way too early top 50. He's my number one quarterback. He's obviously Mike's as well. Mike's has him more as a fourth or fifth rounder, I think.
You'll never get him.
Right. Well, that was my argument. I'm just like, I'm ranking for real. There's no way he escapes a second round in an NFL draft. I'm just curious. And we don't need to sit here and debate whether we just want to appreciate what an amazing season. 50 touchdown passes from Patrick Mahomes. Just a magical thing. He is my vote for MVP. I don't get a vote, but if I did, he would be my vote for MVP, both NFL and fantasy. My question to you, Field, is where would you be comfortable taking Patrick Mahomes next year if we had to do a draft tomorrow?
I'd jump the gun a little bit and go somewhere like the early third. I know Mike was saying, what, fourth or fifth you're saying?
I have him as a second rounder, so
Well, I know, but you were saying, I think if I'm not mistaken, you were saying that your rankings.
That's my belief is where he'll go.
Right.
Yes.
Is that where he'll go, so you're ranking him accordingly. Yeah, but I'd be comfortable taking him. I don't know. Like, I'm just.
I would probably take him towards the end of the second, early third.
The start of something great here, is what I would say. So let's move along here to another player that was great. George Kittle for the 49ers sets the single season yardage mark for a tight end, more than any other in NFL history.
Yes. Bright spot for the 49ers this
year. Unbelievable. It's just the unbelievable. There's nothing else to say about George Kittle. He was remarkable. He will be a top three tight end next year.
Oh,
undisputed.
So good.
Him, Travis Kelce, and Zach Ertz. Mm-hmm. Clear-cut top three tight ends. Other than that, though, obviously for the 49ers, everybody else is hurt. So
yeah, it's really hard to assess this season when you had your starting running back go down before the season ever got underway and your starting quarterback go down pretty much at the start of the year. So, and then everybody else who was on the field was on and off the field. I believe George Kittle may be the only one who of your really star skill position players for fantasy who was out there every single week.
And another one that just, killed a lot of people, I think, were playing Lewis. With Matt Breida out, a lot of people expected Jeff Lewis to have,
Jeff Wilson. I was one of them.
Jeff Wilson. And, he leaves early with it. And then, of course, the running back who shall not be named, of course, comes in with 1,611 yards and a touchdown, even catches a ball.
Of course,
trolling you in week seven.
And what they did, I was playing against Kittle in one of my finals, which I clearly lost. And I just needed them to contain him a little bit because I had Kelce and Kelce didn't really do much. And they, in fact, not only did they not contain him, they were trying to get him the record in the second half. They actually called a timeout.
Yeah.
The 49ers did. So they could get the ball back so that they could continue just feeding him, trying to get him the record. So Kyle Shanahan just stuck it to me 16 different ways this season. And I feel it's weird because I've never met him. So I feel like it's personal on some level, even though I don't know how.
Someone too high.
I'm sure I did.
49ers fall 48-32 though. The Rams get another great performance from CJ Anderson for the Rams. All eyes are on the playoffs. We expect Todd Gurley to be ready in 2 weeks when they play whoever is the highest remaining NFC winner from the division, from the wild card.
Was that the best landing spot for CJ Anderson or what?
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Best landing spot for anyone. Field, it's weird. Field was talking before the show about how he's anticipating a running back by committee between Anderson and Gurley. He's clearly earned
Gurley will be backing up
CJ Anderson. Yeah, I mean, so it's going to be a crowded backfield, obviously.
The Rams are
CJ Anderson. What's a more shocking fantasy playoff storyline? Derrick Henry, running back 39, and then exploding to become the number one player in fantasy among all players.
Yeah.
or CJ Anderson a week after sitting on his couch. He was literally a free agent. He was out of football. He hadn't been out of football long with, you know, brief stops in Oakland, and obviously he was in Carolina earlier in the year. But he was literally sitting on his couch to then, within 7 days, rushing for over 100 yards and getting a touchdown. And over those 2 weeks, CJ Anderson...
299 rushing yards and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
It's got to be CJ Anderson.
What's a more shocking...
Has to be CJ Anderson because he wasn't even in the NFL, right? Employed.
Right, I know.
He wasn't even in the NFL.
He was traveling around the country.
The guy that had Kittle, of course, including had CJ Anderson against me. And my girly league, of course. Where's my bitterberry?
All right, a couple more things here. The Bengals lose 16-13, a way more competitive game against the Steelers than
that. Yeah, the Bengals defense showed up.
And they have fired their head coach as well. Marvin Lewis is out. We have no idea where they'll turn next. Yesterday for them, though, Joe Mixon continues a really strong season. He had 11.7 points, not great, but 105 rushing yards. He was voted the team MVP. Talk about a team that needs to get healthy for next year.
Yeah, I was going to say, their quarterback, their star receiver, their tight end, like they lost everyone at some point.
Who will you rank higher next year, AJ Green or Tyler Boyd?
AJ Green.
I agree, but I don't think it's a crazy question.
No,
and
it's
I won't
not.
Be.
I mean, I have to think about it.
I would not be shocked if, you know, Boyd has more fantasy points at the end of next year than A.J. Green. A.J. Green was on my hate list coming into the season. One of the reasons I did is I said he's going to be on the wrong side of 30, and he has played all 16 games just twice in the last 4 years. So now it's twice in the last 5 years that he's played all 16 games. He'll be 31, Stefania. Like, feels like this is a player that... just injuries keep catching up with him.
Well, recently, and this was an aggravation of a toe injury that cost him a few games back. I think it was 2014. So the good news is the surgery that he's having should really help him get past this. So it's not a question of re-aggravating it, but you add up the wear and tear in his age and it definitely knocks him down a level.
No concerns about age for Juju Smith-Schuster, who had 14.7 points yesterday. And I think maybe the same question will be posed to people. Who would you rather have between Antonio Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster going into next season?
I think I still have Antonio Brown higher, but like it's by like a couple of spots.
Yeah, it's super close
because, look, Antonio Brown sort of, you know, there were people that were, there were a little bit of whispers as he lost a step. And then, of course, you know.
He went crazy.
He went crazy just like, yeah.
But then going crazy might have cost him because that's when the knee issues showed up and then they had to rest him yesterday. So.
I'll take the youth movement. Obviously, they were not able to make the playoffs because the Ravens won, but it's a good problem to have when you're debating whether or not your best wide receiver is Antonio Brown or somebody else, yeah. Regardless.
But James Conner proved he could be an every down fantasy star. He's going to be a, you know, top six or seven running back
next
year.
Nice to see him get back on the
field. He'll be a first rounder.
The Seahawks win 27-24 in a final second field goal. For the Cardinals, they fired their head coach as well in Steve Wilks after just one season. A bad year offensively for them. Larry Fitz goes 4 for 36 and a touchdown. David Johnson goes 17 for 62 for 11.8 points. If this is it for Larry Fitzgerald, thank you.
Salute.
Oh, absolutely,
gotta say, man. Thank you. You're
one
awesome.
Of the best in the league.
First ballot Hall of Famer, and
absolutely. We'll see you in Canton in 5 years. And
I don't want to say anything too much because he could be back, and you know who knows what it means based off of. It could be a matter of who the new head coach is.
But
you were awesome, man. You've been a ton of fun.
Yes.
To watch.
Much respect. And I would suspect that if he wants it, he will, if he decides to retire and if he wants it, I think he is a natural for a broadcasting career.
He would be phenomenal in television.
Yeah.
The Seahawks wrap up an improbable season in some ways by getting the 5th seed in the NFC playoffs. Chris Carson had 122 rushing yards. What a stud he has become for them.
Yeah.
And we talked about how Russell Wilson and Tyler Lockett keep defying this model, right? I mean, Tyler Lockett was bound to slow down. He did not. 2 for 66 and a touchdown. This is crazy.
Two targets.
Zach Whitman, who does a lot of, he's sort of very analytical mind, does a great job of sort of thinking about things and evaluating things in a different way. He's Seattle-based, tweeted yesterday that Russell Wilson finished the season with a perfect passer rating when targeting Tyler Lockett. That's remarkable. 158.3. Lots of success between those two this season.
We're trying to figure out, you know, will they stick with Carson or does Rashad Penny come on? Is it more of a running back by committee? It'll be interesting because Penny did come on, but Carson keeps getting the job done. And certainly given the success that Seattle's had this year and the success I think they will have in the postseason, I believe they beat Dallas this weekend, that you know, this run heavy approach of Brian Schottenheimer's has certainly worked out well. Obviously, Pete Carroll signing an extension. So the expectation, I think, would be is that more of the same for Seattle next year.
Couple of games here to get through to finish it up. The Eagles win 24-0 over the Redskins. The big news, though, was Nick Foles leaving the game with a chest issue, Stefania.
Right. And we saw him take a big hit last week. Ends up that he had the wind knocked out of him, comes back to finish this time bruised ribs. Good news is that no fractures revealed so far. So the expectation is that Nick Foles will continue in the playoff run, but he's going to be a little bit sore doing it.
It'll be him backed up by Nate Sudfeld as of right now, according to Doug Peterson just moments ago.
I was just going to say, you saw the Schefter tweet. Yep.
For the Redskins, there's nothing to say, and I'm not trying to be, you know, funny or a slight at Matthew. Like, this offense was broken. Josh Johnson was overmatched with 91 passing yards yesterday. I mean, literally, their leading receiver yesterday was Josh Johnson with 33 yards. Terrible. Injuries.
They went through second four straight, quarterbacks.
Second straight year they had the most players on IR to end the season. So crazy. Yeah.
It's a franchise that's in true free fall. The I follow a lot of Redskins Twitter, obviously, and the images from the stadium filled with Eagles fans chanting, a near empty stadium, getting embarrassed at home. And Stefania, I don't know who the starting quarterback for the Redskins is next year, because there's been complications with Alex Smith's recovery.
Yeah, I don't think they know at all either. I mean, you lose your star that you brought in Alex Smith to a significant injury, and you lose Colt McCoy to essentially a broken leg late in the season, and then the Mark Sanchez thing didn't work out. So,
right.
I don't think you're going to know an answer to your question until it's much later.
I think there is a decent chance that the Redskins are one of the worst teams in the NFL next year.
Interesting take there. Before we get to our final game to recap 2018, a reminder, go to podcastopinions.com to weigh in on some of the things pertaining to our little tiny show right here. This is our final show of 2018. Our final Twitter show of the season will be January 14th at 11 a.m. We're handing out some hardware, but we will continue to do a podcast once a week through the playoffs. It'll be recapping the games and just talking about football. It'll be me, Stefania, and Mike. It'll be on Mondays. It'll be posted as soon as we have it. The final game here, Buffalo Bills, take care of business over the Miami Dolphins 42-17. For the Dolphins, they have fired their head coach as well in Adam Gase. Kenyon Drake has the best day for them, but this is another team that needs an overhaul in the worst way offensively. There's nobody that can get you excited.
I don't think Ryan Tannehill's their quarterback, do you?
I do not think he'll be their quarterback next year. I think this might be a team, though, that also goes young in the same way that the Broncos could go young and just sort of wipe the slate, start over.
Right. Well, they're clearly starting over, you know, from obviously they're going to have a new head coach, and I think more changes are coming as well.
The Bills win their sixth game of the season. I'm impressed with the direction of the Bills. Josh Allen was amazing yesterday. 40.5 fantasy points, five total touchdowns. Going to be a really hard guy to assess in terms of fantasy next year, but like I could see him as a top 15 quarterback going into next year. Yeah, he's just a fun guy to watch. That much is sure for
the
sure.
Highlight of the day though was Kyle Williams.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, catching his pass. Congratulations. And you know what? I love. Like, how about Bills fans? I mean, we talk about them all the time, but they showed up for Kyle Williams to pay him respect.
That's a team that has, there's a lot of culture right now in Buffalo. They had a bad offense this year, and we understand that this team was going to face some massive struggles, but they competed every single week. That much is for sure. I'm a big fan of the regime between Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott.
Yep. I would agree with that.
That's all for us. We just recapped
every
game. An entire
week 17.
Stefania is like 1-2-3 Cabo, which is
Dominican, actually, but Dominican. Yes. Okay. Yes.
What's amazing is that somehow the company is paying for this. She invented some conference there. She's going to be there.
I will be doing my best off-season, you know, ruminating on a hammock.
Hashtag boondoggle.
Follow along by the ocean. At StefaniaB87 on Instagram.
Oh, there you go. Thanks, Field, for the Instagram plug.
We're not
lovely
signing
pictures.
Off for good. We're just sort of, just, you know.
I'll be back next Monday.
Just like a humble, as we close 2018, a humble thank you from us to you.
Yes.
The most dedicated listeners, and this year the most dedicated viewers. We had a great experience. Thank you to Twitter for all they have done to help us become a show that you can stream every single day. We're looking forward to the 2019 season already. A lot of great New Year's resolutions on tap.
And thanks to all who came out to the live shows. I mean, that was live shows. We always are appreciative of people who take their time and come out and see us.
Take a moment to thank our producer, Daniel Dopp, who right. we like to give a hard time to, but does an amazing job, and to Keith Lipscomb,
yep.
who runs editorial for ESPN Fantasy Football, the thirsty Kyle Soppy, who prepares our notes and our stats and keeps us honest in terms of all of our research. Thanks to Tarika for helping out. Our thanks to Jonathan
and
Luna,
that's right.
and yeah. Sid Wong, who
up in the control room,
who helped produce
cameras,
all the videos that you see
clips.
On the apps mm-hmm. And do all the clips and help produce the Twitter live show. Who am I forgetting? Field.
We have Pete Genesini behind there who yeah. runs podcasting, oversees us all. We've got.
Did we say Mike Clay? I mean, because Mike Clay did quite a bit of this year.
Yeah. Thanks to Mike Clay for filling in and doing a great job.
Thanks,
Random Damien over there.
Goddamn,
helps
right.
out.
That's
Stata right. Pillar.
And Mike Foss and Ryan Spoon, who lead right. our efforts to on the digital front. So
yeah,
we appreciate
helped us
all
get here to this
you guys
space.
Did. So we're looking forward to a great 2019. Be safe.
Be healthy.
Enjoy your 2018 New Year's Eve celebration. We'll talk to you guys soon.
Peace out.
You're in the 06010. Never gonna hustle in case you didn't know. Matthew Berry, TMI.
Guys, go ahead. Give me grief for being on SportsCenter for 45 seconds.
I think you could do better than me because I don't think you could.
Jailbait, Bill Yates.
You're terrible at hashtag improv. At Field Yates. At Field Yates.
Stefania Bell.
Oh, don't let Barry convert you.
Secret Squirrel Day.